Good morning and welcome to the Mountain View Baptist Church radio broadcast. This is Pastor Kevin J. Norton inviting you and your family to any of our services beginning on Sunday morning at 10 a.m. for Sunday school. Of course, during this COVID time, we're just having a general auditorium Sunday school. We're not going to the classes, but we still like to invite you to come and be with us in our Sunday school hour. Then at 10:45, we'll begin our morning service, and we're taking all the precautions that we can to try to mitigate the COVID progression. And we're taking temperatures as folks come in. We're encouraging folks to wear masks, also marking off pews for social distancing. And so we're doing everything that we can to try to still have service. And we thank God that he's allowed us. Also, we have a Sunday night service at 5 o'clock. And then we're doing our midweek service on Wednesday night at 7 o'clock. We're doing that on YouTube. And so we'd like to invite you to come to any of our services and to be with us. Until then, may the Lord richly bless you is our prayer.
I know we're going through the fire. It's getting hard to stand the heat, but even harder is the wondering, is God's hand still on me? It's lonely. Days I'd cry, oh Lord, isn't it about time? But the potter knows the clay, how much pressure it can take, how many times around the wheel till there's submission to.
Amen. Well, it is another beautiful day the Lord's given us this morning, and I trust that you're getting ready to go unto the house of the Lord this morning to worship and honor him who's been so good to you. And even in dark days and troublesome times, he's still worthy and deserving of all of our adoration and to give him thanks and praise for all that he's done for us. And he's certainly a good God. He's taking care of us. He'll take care of us in the new year as well. And so I'm glad that we've got one that we can put faith and trust in this morning and know that everything is going to be well. I believe the Lord's coming, and I'm praying that he's coming this year. And so every day I'm looking up, every night I'm looking up, my heart is always looking up, ready for the Lord to come again. Remember these on our prayer list this morning. I continue to remember Cecil Parrish this morning, also Jesse Robinson. Remember Edna Owens this morning. Pray for Ty Smith this morning in your prayers. Also remember Dugan Brown. Remember Miss Vicky this morning. Remember Ernest and Miss Othell this morning. Remember Brittany in your prayers this morning. Also Harold and Helen Odom. Remember Bob and Linda Schaefer this morning. Remember Zula Ellis and Miss Bessie Hawkins this morning. And I'd like to send the broadcast out to Brother Steve Spears after his surgery. We pray that he's doing well this morning. And we trust that this song will certainly be a prayer, be a blessing to you. Also, remembering Jonathan Roberts this morning. Remember Chastity and Hunter Peak this morning also in your prayers.
Like a ship sailing out on a trip so rough and long, so far from shore, so far from home, I set out in search of a reason to go home, and there I found it in the eye of the storm. Storm blasts may rock this ship of mine. The light of my Savior will lead me safely through the night. Though my ship may be rocking and my sails may be torn, then I shall rest in the eye of water rages and the billows begin to roll. The blessed rock of ages speaks peace to my soul. He holds me in his arms, so safe and so warm, and I find shelter in the eye of the storm. Storm clouds may rock this ship of mine. The light of my Savior will lead me safely through the night. Though my ship may be rocking and my sails may be torn, I shall rest in the eye of storm. No matter what storm clouds may rock this ship of mine, the light of my Savior will lead me safely through the night. Though my ship may be rocking and my sails may be torn, I shall rest in the eye of the storm. Though my ship may be rocking and my sails may be torn, I shall rest in the eye of the storm.
Amen. I want to read one verse this morning out of Isaiah chapter 28 and verses number 7.
the Bible said this morning, but they also have erred through wine, and through strong drink are out of the way. The priest and the prophet have erred through strong drink. They are swallowed up of wine. They are out of this vision, out of the way through strong drink, and they err in vision. They stumble in judgment. Our Heavenly Father, now, God, as we come before you this morning, we thank you, God, for the privilege of prayer this morning. God, your blessings upon our life, and what a day, Lord, that you've given, that you've made, that you've let us be part of this morning, God. And I pray as your people assemble in your house that you'd be in the midst this morning, God, that you'd bring someone of the saving knowledge of Christ this morning, God, that you'd throw out the lifeline to that one, Lord, about to go under, Lord, that you'd reclaim that one, God, that has strayed from the fold this morning, God. I pray that your holy power, God, would be upon your people this morning, God, where they're gathered together, Lord, that conviction, Lord, might fall. Lord, that the power of commitment might fall upon your people this morning, God, that we'd have a great desire, Lord, to serve you and commit our lives unto you this morning, God. I pray your words go forth this morning, God, and accomplish where you send it today, God. I pray this morning that your Holy Spirit this morning, God, would fill up your men wherever they stand this morning, God. They might boldly proclaim the truths of thy word this morning, God. Bless with revival, and may it break forth, God, this morning, and flood our souls, our community, our county, God, our homes, how we need it so much in this land that's dry and thirsty for the word of God this morning. Bless, and Lord, answer prayer this morning, God. Touch those we made mention that are sick, have those having surgery, those recovering from surgery. I pray you'd visit with them this morning, God. Have the nursing homes and those, God, that are bedfast in their own home. I pray you'd pass by that way, God, and let them know that everything's in your control and under your power. And Lord, for everything accomplished, we'll thank you and praise you this morning. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. And amen this morning. Now then, you'll find several times in this passage that the words strong drink and wine are made mention. I want to preach on that thought this morning, sort of an unusual thought this morning, but I want to preach on the evils of intoxication. The evils of intoxication. I realize in today's world that you and I live that drinking is probably taking a back burner to all the drug problems that we have in our society. I mean, from marijuana to acid to cocaine and heroin, and now the drug of choice seems to be crystal meth. Amen. It's so flooded, dear friend, our society everywhere, and it affects everyone. How many lives have been destroyed because of these drugs this morning, whether directly or indirectly? Dear friend, there's still the same result. But you know, through it all, dear friend, the new highs in drugs, brother, from the time of the flood to the present, there's always been alcohol. Amen. And though the Bible doesn't mention much about the drugs of choice specifically, although it does make reference to the sorcery that destroys the lives of men, amen, that outside evil influence that we take into our own lives, it does have much to say about drinking and drunkenness and the impact it has on the lives of those who drink and on the lives of those who are connected and involved in their lives this morning. Now, I know we don't like to talk about it. We don't like to say anything. And we don't like to scrutinize it. But, brother, I'm telling you, it is a prevalent and a relevant subject for our day and hour. People drink because of depression. They use it for an excuse. Dear friend, their lives are just in such disarray. And they don't have what everybody else has. And everything's against them. And so they use it as an excuse, as a crutch, dear friend, to get drunk. On the other hand, we use celebration to try to justify, dear friend, drinking this morning. I mean, whether it's a holiday or we're celebrating a birth or we're celebrating, dear friend, this morning, a promotion, or, dear friend, we just want to go out with a friend, dear friend, and get drunk. I'm telling you this morning, dear friend, what a shame it is, the evils of intoxication. Brother, what they don't see is that DUI, dear friend, brings shame. What a scandal it is nowadays. Man, the domestic problems, the abuse and the neglect in the home because of intoxication. Dear friend, the disgrace that brings upon you and your family because of intoxication. And brother, I want to tell you, if every Christian in this county would have done what they're supposed to have done, and brother stood up, dear friend, don't you look at me like that. There's enough folks on the church rolls in the county, every church and denomination. Brother, this ought to be a dry county. But brother, we've been bought out, compromised, turned the other way, or we're just plain out lazy to do the right thing. Amen. I said it. Dear friend, the evils of intoxication. Before we go any further, I want to clear up two things, dear friend, concerning the Bible and alcohol this morning. Now, first of all, there's the occasions, dear friend, of alcohol. The Scripture gives two references for the use of alcohol this morning. Now, first of all, is a medicinal. In 1 Timothy chapter 5, Paul tells Timothy to use a little wine for thy stomach's sake and thine often infirmities. Now, Paul told Timothy in chapter 3 that bishops were not to be given to any wine. And now we find that Paul said in chapter 2 of 2 Timothy that he says, use a little wine for thy stomach's sake. Does the Bible contradict itself? No. Brother, he's talking about medicinal uses. Amen. There's a difference in being given to wine and using wine. When you're given to wine, that means it controls you. When you use wine, that means you control it. Amen. I believe the Bible gives authority for those that are sick this morning. Dear friend, if you've ever taken NyQuil and cough medicine, brother, look on the back. There's a percentage of alcohol in those products this morning. Amen. And then number two, in Proverbs 31, the Bible gives a management of pain. He said in Proverbs 31, verse 6, give strong drink to those that are ready to perish. Amen. Those that are on their deathbed. Those this morning that are in pain and agony, fighting and struggling with life's final pain. The Bible said it'd be all right to ease their suffering this morning. Not on the occasions, but let's also notice the ordinances of the Lord's Supper. Amen. Matthew, Mark, and Luke, dear friend, all make reference when the Lord's Supper is concerned, case of the fruit of the vine. And the word wine appears some 231 times in the Bible. But the fruit of the vine only appears three times in these three passages concerning the Lord's Supper. Dear friend, I don't think that God intended have the Lord's Supper to be partaken with alcohol. Dear friend, that's why he said the fruit of the vine, the unfermented fruit of the vine this morning. Amen. Dear friend, Hannah was accused of being drunk when she wasn't. Jesus was accused of being a wine bibber. The apostles were falsely accused of being drunken on the day of Pentecost. And yet the Bible said in Ephesians chapter 5, have they not drunk on wine, wherein is excess, but be ye filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Dear friend, this morning there are some definitive evils to drinking, and those, dear friend, that are given unto drinking this morning. First of all, it promotes provocations. Amen. Proverbs chapter 20, verse number 1. The Bible said wine is a mocker and strong drink raging. It brings out the meanness in people. Amen. Dear friend, when somebody gets drunk, they think they're 10 foot tall and bulletproof, and they can take on the world, and they can do anything. Dear friend, this morning, it just makes a fool out of you. Dear friend, it provokes and provokes. Dear friend, that evil spirit. Dear friend,
living inside of you this morning. Amen. And Ephraim today, it also brings poverty. Amen. Proverbs 23, verse 19. I said, the drunkard shall come to poverty. I wonder how many have wasted, Ephraim, their family fortune. How many, friend of mine, have let their family do without so they could buy booze? Amen. I could say the same about lottery tickets, but that's a sermon for a different time. Dear friend, I wonder how many, dear friend, have drunk up their inheritance, have drunk up their savings. Dear friend, at the other end of a bottle, dear friend, this morning, how many families have suffered want and neglect because there was a drunkard in the family this morning? Amen. It promotes problems. Proverbs 23 and verse 29. Who has woes? Who has sorrows and contentions and redness of eyes? It's they that tarry long at wine and mix strong drink. Amen. You want to invite problems into your life? Dear friend, just bring booze. Dear friend, just bring alcohol. Dear friend, just bring liquor into your life. Dear friend, I'll tell you, it never can bring anything good. Amen. There's no such thing as a social drinker. There's no such thing as a part-time hot toddy drinker this morning. Either it's got a hold of you or you've got victory over it. Amen. Dear friend, I'll tell you, God knows what's in the back of your dear friend cabinet. He knows what's in the bottom of your refrigerator. And you may say, well, we just use that for special occasions. You tell me when there's a special occasion in the life of a child of God. How do you ever turn up a bottle of liquor, dear friend, this morning, or sip on, dear friend, some kind of cool drink? Amen. God said it's just going to bring sorrows and woes and contention in your life. Amen. And then also, it promotes perversion. In Habakkuk 2, verse 15, woe unto him that giveth his neighbor drink, that he may get him drunk, and that he may look upon his nakedness. Amen. I wonder, dear friend, how many today have woke up in the morning and wondered what in the world they done the night before. Amen. Paul listed drunkenness on two lists. One of them was the works of the flesh, and the other one was on that one, that will not inherit the kingdom of God. Amen. Dear friend, I'm telling you, it'll nothing bring nothing but sorrow. It'll bring nothing but pain and misery. Dear friend, it'll do nothing, dear friend, to satisfy your thirst nor your problems. Dear friend, this morning there are evils in intoxication. I want to make mention of three things this morning, dear friend, concerning the evils of intoxication. Number one, that's the effects of intoxication. Whether you think it affects you or not, dear friend, I'll tell you, the prime result of intoxication is always regret. Amen. Alcohol and sin have the same result. In the beginning it has pleasure, but the end is bitterness of gall this morning. Amen. It will incapacitate you. That's right. Look at Noah. How the Bible said that Noah got drunk. Dear friend, this morning, yes, Noah, man of God, dear friend, and yet he let intoxication get the best of him, and his younger son, Cana, dear friend, he had to end up cursing because he came in on the nakedness of his father. I think about Lot. The Bible said his daughters got him drunk and lied with him in incest. Dear friend, I'll tell you, when you drink, you've got no judgment. You've got no perception. You've got no restraint this morning. Dear friend, today, intoxication will incapacitate you, dear friend, where you make, dear friend, the wrong decisions, and you don't realize how the effect it has upon you. It will infatuate you, dear friend. Aharius and Herod and Belshazzar, and I could go on and on, but these men made stupid mistakes, dear friend, when they were drinking. Amen. Things that cost them their lives, dear friend, and the lives of others. Amen. I wonder, dear friend, this morning, how many tragedies, dear friend, have brought and been the result of somebody drinking. Amen. Dear friend, this morning, I'll tell you, get drunk and get behind the wheel. It's not just your life it affects. Dear friend, you'll destroy the lives of others this morning. Dear friend, today you'll do things you never thought you'd do. Dear friend, when you're under the influence of intoxication, it'll annihilate you. Dear friend, there are diseases that follow. Dear friend, intoxication this morning, it'll bring a depravity and disease to your life. Dear friend, not only ruining your physical life, but your reputation. Dear friend, this morning, let's move on. Dear friend, I think about the elements of intoxication. Why is it that people continually drink? Amen. Why is it they will continually subject themselves to chaos? Amen. Sometimes it is to drown their sorrow. Amen. To try to forget their problems. Dear friend, I want to tell you, dear friend, that intoxication will always create more problems in your life, and it'll never solve anything. Those problems will still be there the next day and the next day. Bad things are always going to happen. Amen. And there's always a reason to find to get drunk. Dear friend, this morning, if that's all you're going to do is drown your sorrows, we live in a world full of misery. Dear friend, you'll stay that way the rest of your life. Sometimes it is to socialize, to fit in, to blend in, to not look like a fuddy-duddy. Dear friend, our children nowadays have so much peer pressure put upon them. Amen. Dear friend, but I'll tell you, you stand against it, and you walk away from it. Dear friend, and you'll not have to face charges like others have had to face. Dear friend, because you'll not have to face, dear friend, embarrassment and humility like others have had to face. I've listened to next day apologies of drunkards that didn't mean to do what they'd done the night before. I've listened to late night problems, our promises of those that pour that never get drunk again. Dear friend, I've listened to those on the altar at the church and could smell alcohol on their breath, and they wanted to get right with God with a buzz. I want to tell you, friend, you can't do business with God that way. It's just senseless this morning. Dear friend, before long, you won't even need a reason to drink. You'll just do it. And thirdly, I want to mention the enchantment, the allure, the glamour. Dear friend, that draws people in. It's deception. Amen. Dear friend, I'll tell you, every drunkard I've ever known, dear friend, could always say, I can quit anytime I want to. Amen. Dear friend, this morning, I want to tell you, dear friend, once it has control of your life, dear friend, I'm not mocking AA. I'm not mocking Celebrate Recovery and all those other 12-step programs. Dear friend, but I want to tell you something. Alcoholism is not a disease, it's a sin. And the only one can set you free from your sin is the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the only one can break the bonds that hold upon you. But what is the draw? Dear friend, the advertisement, the glory, the country songs, and the acceptance in our society. I tell you, people can't wait till they turn 21. And then go get their first drink, and it ruins their life this morning. And if and I think about the dependence and the addiction, and the Bible said in Isaiah 5:11, woe unto them that rise up early that they may follow strong drink and continue all night until wine inflames them. And dear friend, how sad it is. And dear friend, this morning I grew up in a drunkard's home. And brother, I'm an expert. I've never been drunk in my life, but I'm still a sinner that needed to get saved. And I believe God can save a drunkard. Dear friend, I believe God can deliver a drunkard. Dear friend, this morning, if you'll turn to Him and put your faith in Christ, dear friend, He can deliver you this morning. And there's nothing good that comes out of the evils of intoxication. May the Lord richly bless you, is my prayer.